I can't be the only person to have noticed the rise of woo in the mainstream media. The rise of pseudoscientific bullshit being parroted by people who should know better.
True, loads of things have happened to me. I'm trapped in another land with a peculiar earache. I've spoken to ecologists and learned secrets about how we can save the world. Interesting social pioneers and campaigners that work in Ferguson and Baltimore. I've read some interesting information by Joseph Campbell about the way that we should understand God. And I thought, now that I've had a bit of time to reflect, it would be nice to, you know, just express my gratitude to you for watching The Truths. What year it's been. Remember, we just started that. Me, Gareth, a newspaper, reading The Truths. And before you know it, there's potential prime ministers in the house. Obviously, they don't actually become prime ministers because we were in the election. But what a journey for The Truths. In another year's time, it will be presidents, leaders of the World Bank, the IMF, all having their organisations and institutions ruined simply by your news channel. True news, news you can trust.
And sometimes it's being said by people who clearly don't know any better, but have a remarkable reach nonetheless. So go on, Russell, let's hear some woo.
I've learned this thing. When people talk about the expulsion from Eden, surely they refer to the purity of uteral life, when we're connected to the mother, when there is no self, when there is no oneness. You know the hacky crack joke of, hey, why do men have nipples for? You know, like you don't need them. Because, of course, as we all know now, because it's not a cliched white dog poo 70s, because we are neither gender at first in our life. So we are indeed all one without gender before we divide, before we become either male or female. We are literally both. We are androgynous, amorphous creatures that can become whatever consciousness allows us to become.
Can become whatever consciousness allows us to become. Fucking woo, Russell. If you don't mind me interrupting your attempt at becoming a modern-day witch doctor, and if we consult the actual facts of the situation, we know that within 3 months of a baby's conception, they develop genitalia. So we can sex fetuses at 11 weeks old when they have a penis and testes if they're male. And yes, this is a picture of a baby penis, Russell. Not even a baby. A fetus penis. You're making me do this, Russell. Why? Why do you force this? Seriously though, what you're talking about is a stage in a person's life when they are 2.5 inches long.
That we have access to the infinite consciousness from which we came. I've been learning some techniques. We'll be back with The Truths on Monday. Thank you very much for making us such an influential and unusual channel. Get some t-shirts, come on the tour, support this organisation because we've got new information on how to begin a true world order.
Why don't you just say, I am a cult leader? It'll cut out the crap.
Sorry for shaking the camera. And be careful using these things on your laptop, because Edward Snowden revealed that they can activate this thing remotely. I've not gone mad.
You were just talking about collective consciousness, just so you know. Well, since we're on the subject of collectivism...
UK Labour Party leader Jeremy Corbyn may not be a mainstream media darling, but the ideas he stands for appear to be winning over many in the public. Many British bookstores are now reporting an explosion in sales of Marxist and left-wing literature.
Oh, for the love of God. Ah yes, left-wing literature, otherwise interchangeable with Marxism.
Well, books like these used to be the preserve of politics students and veteran activists, but not anymore.
Whoa, hang on. Politics students and veteran activists. That's it, is it? They're the only people who used to read Capital and the Communist Manifesto and anything like that. They're the only people. No, you know, failed totalitarian states with... I was going to say issues with human rights, but the concept of human rights was alien because human rights fundamentally revolves around the individual. But you know what, forget them. Forget authoritarian regimes with body counts in the tens of millions because of this ideology. Let's try and sell this to the Western middle class. Nothing will go wrong.
Because an increasing number of Brits are buying up literature about radical left-wing ideas. Sales of books like these are booming.
Wow, I really want to read that book because that really seems to go against the grain of reality. Every communist regime has fucking failed. Every collectivist regime has failed. These things don't last. They don't bear out because ultimately there is no real collective. Everything is just individuals. Hell, Marx himself doesn't think he was right. Just as Marx used to say, commenting on the French Marxists of the late 1870s, "All I know is that I'm not a Marxist." Well, he doesn't think he was right. I'm sure the author of that book knows better.
As you can see, we're out of Capital Volume 1 because people have been buying it so much. But, you know, for other people, it's things like this, The Little Rebel's Guide to Marx. We have a whole series of these Rebel's Guides, but we're having to reprint the Marx one. We're almost out of it.
Andrea Butcher runs Britain's largest socialist bookstore. She says the increase in sales is linked to the rise of Jeremy Corbyn, the left-wing leader of the UK's opposition Labour Party.
My God, did you hear how excited she was? She was thrilled that people were buying Marx. She was thrilled that people were like, you know what, yeah, let's just start putting these principles into practice. I'm sure there's nothing wrong with a bit of class warfare. Fucking, I suppose the Tories started it. So, you know, it was inevitable. But fucking, just, their ideas are bad as well as these ideas being bad. For the love of God.
People are looking to those books that help them in the fights that they're now facing. And those fights, it could be around housing. So, for example, we've got books on austerity and housing.
Do you think all this is a precursor to something?
I hope so.
Well, what the fuck do you think that's going to be? I mean, I know what I think that's going to be, but that's because I've read a history book. What do you think it's going to be? I think it's going to end up in communism. I mean, I'm just saying that's because every other time people have done this, that's what's happened. But what do you think it's going to end up with?
I mean, you look around the world, you know, particularly you look at what's been happening in Greece and perhaps Spain and Portugal and elsewhere. It's quite exciting times, I think, for socialists at the moment.
If you hold up Greece, Portugal and Spain as an example of socialist success stories, it makes you sound like vultures because they're on the verge of being economically failed states. Yanis Varoufakis, the admittedly badass biker, Marxist, ex-finance minister of Greece, thinks democracy in Greece is all but over. Don't get me wrong, this isn't the fault of Marxism or Marxist ideas, but I don't really see how becoming really, really Marxist is going to help any of these countries. They've got huge debts. They don't have any money, and they have the EU squatting above them like a giant vampiric octopus. How exactly is Marxism going to fix this?
Basic things like the Communist Manifesto has been the biggest seller.
Oh, I've got absolutely no doubt. I mean, why the fuck wouldn't it be? Why wouldn't the Communist Manifesto be a really popular thing? I mean, you can pick a PDF online for free, but why not go and buy a physical copy of it before your right to own things is rescinded by the state? The theory of the communists may be summed up in a single sentence. Abolition of private property. You know, that thing that is essential to the fundamental bulwark of freedom. You know, in the Magna Carta, when they said a person's private property or person will not be touched without lawful judgment of their peers or something to that effect. Yes, well, fuck that. Fuck it. Now that's silly. What we need is such ridiculous collectivism, you're not allowed to own anything.
And being under voting age is no excuse for not knowing your Corbyn from your Karl Marx.
It's so popular, Click Clack Moo is always selling out. I think the barn is too cold, so the cows are in there typing a letter. Dear Farmer Brown, the barn is very cold, we'd like some electric blankets, sincerely the cows. So he says no, so the cows went on strike. Leave a note on the farmer's door. Chickens join in. There's a bit of secondary picketing going on. It all gets very exciting.
Is this serious? I mean, do the cows teach the chickens Beasts of England or something? Do they revolt and overthrow the farmer? I mean, I'm all for anti-establishment propaganda, but could it be a little less exactly like Animal Farm, please? I've already stated that the next Liberal Ideas video I'm going to be doing is about individualism versus collectivism, and remembering exactly who you are, what has happened to you, and basing your worldview off of that, rather than basing your worldview on appropriating the experiences of others. And here is the perfect example of that, and why it is the most laughable nonsense you'll ever see.
But let's be fair. If there's somebody who is a hard worker, he goes to Washington is Paul Ryan. Not only works with Republicans, but Democrats. You know as well, very well that I work on the immigration issue, trying to get Republicans to support immigration reform. Paul Ryan is somebody who has supported immigration reform, has worked with somebody like Luis Gutierrez. Luis Gutierrez is very respectful, speaks highly of Paul Ryan. This is somebody who's trying to govern.
Alfonso, I feel you, but I just want to pause on one thing, because I don't disagree with you that I actually think Mr. Ryan is a great choice for this role. But I want us to be super careful when we use the language hard worker.
Look at his fucking face. Why the fuck would we need to be careful about using the language hard worker? Why are you tone policing me over a perfectly innocuous phrase?
Because, I mean, I actually keep an image of folks working in cotton fields on my office wall.
Holy shit, that is fucking insane. That is fucking insane. If you were Jewish, would you have a picture of Auschwitz? Why would you have a picture of someone else's suffering on the wall to remind you of what you are? Someone who's never been a slave. Someone whose parents and grandparents have never been fucking slaves. At what point do you turn around and say, you know what, I'm prepared to let this go? Okay, go on, let's hear your reasoning.
Because it is a reminder about what hard work looks like. So I feel you that he's a hard worker. I do.
But what? You have some sort of chemical imbalance in your brain? You think that is the only kind of hard work? I mean, what the fuck are you even saying? You know who worked really, really hard to build the pyramids? Not slaves. People who were not slaves worked really hard, built pyramids. Amazing feat. Before any kind of half-decent technology was available for it. They probably used fucking copper chisels to chisel giant blocks of stone. Copper. Copper. Carving stone with copper. Not slaves. That's hard work. Picking cotton, yeah, that's hard work too. But it's not the only kind of hard work, and you are a fucking Fruit Loop. If I were black, the last thing I would want to think about on a daily motherfucking basis would be slavery. Why are you doing this to yourself? No one's making you have this hang over your head after 150 years. But go on, what's the reason for this?
But in the context of relative privilege.
Oh, what a surprise. Total fucking woo. There isn't a white person on this fucking panel as far as I can see, and you're going, oh yeah, privilege. Let's talk about relative privilege now. How about let's talk about relative sense, which this guy is obviously thinking is lacking. Look at his face. Why the fuck does she keep pictures of slaves on her wall?
And I just want to point out that when you talk about work-life balance and being a hard worker, the moms who don't have health care, who are working
I understand that.
But we don't call them hard workers. We call them failures. We call them people who are sucking off the system. No, really, y'all do. That is really what you guys do.
Well, it's a good thing they don't call them hard workers, because that would be equating them to slaves. At least in the twisted mind of a collectivist identity politician. But don't tell me. Relative privilege. The final thing that we're going to go over isn't so much about woo, it's about how not to indoctrinate children, even if it's into something that I personally agree with. There was this example of a seventh grader class being forcibly indoctrinated into atheism by their teacher, with direct incentives and disincentives both ways, failing the projects or whatever if they don't comply.
You have 5 minutes to speak to us. If you don't want to use that time, you don't, just as much as you want.
Today I was given an assignment in school that questioned my faith and told me that God was not real. Our teacher had started off saying that the assignment had been giving problems all day, and we were asked to take a poll to say whether God is fact, opinion, or a myth, and she told anyone who said that a fact or opinion was wrong, and that God is only a myth. And she started saying, telling kids that they were completely wrong, and that when kids would argue, she had told them that we would get in trouble. And whenever we asked why we were led to believe that he was true. If he is untrue, she told us to ask our pastors. When I tried to argue, she told me to prove it. And I tried to reference things such as the Bible and stories that I've read before from people that have died and went to heaven but have come back and told their stories. And she told me that both were just things that people were doing to get attention. And I know that it wasn't just me who was affected by it. My friend, she went home and she started crying. And she was actually supposed to come with me, but she didn't think she could. So my friend, she turned in her paper, and she had still put that God was a fact and to be true. And my teacher crossed the answer out several times, telling her that it was completely wrong. And one of my other friends, she got really upset, and she started arguing with the teacher, and the teacher got mad, and my friend, she wound up slamming everything off of her desk because she got really aggravated with the whole issue. And whenever my friend and I came home, we immediately told our parents about it, and we called the principal. And she said that she would handle it, but she said that the teacher had already gone home. And another child in my class had asked the teacher if we could, try to put what we believe in on the paper. And she said, you can if you want to get the problem wrong, which will fail. You'll fail the paper if you do. And I felt like this was really wrong, and I didn't feel like it was fair for my faith and my religion to have anything to do with what I'm learning about in school.
That's fucking awful. That is just fucking awful. And that is tantamount to the teacher bullying those children because the teacher has a different ideological position to them. This is unacceptable. And this is coming from an atheist, a lifelong atheist, someone who has never believed that there is a God. And I do not think these children should be treated this way. This is fucking despicable. The existence of God should not be the subject of these children's education, especially not at this age. It is not something they should be punished for believing in. I know this is conjecture on my part, but from the description of the teacher there, I would put money on the fact that they identify as a progressive. And once more, it becomes the eternal problem of the left. It's not that I disagree with what they're saying, it's that I disagree with what they are doing.